Welcome to Voices of NCAJ. We're talking to members of the North Carolina Advocates for Justice about what it means to be a trial lawyer, what it takes to be great at the practice of law, and how being a part of NCAJ enriches their lives and careers. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices of NCAJ, the podcast for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I am Amber Nimix, your host and director of external affairs for NCAJ. Before we get started, I'd like to thank today's episode sponsor, Advocate Capital. Advocate is passionate about helping plaintiffs' attorneys get better results for clients, mainly through their AdvoTrack case expense funding service. It allows firms to track case expenses and recover borrowing costs, which makes the net cost of borrowing zero on cases they win. You can learn more at advocatecapital.com. My guest today is Leslie Leek, a lead paralegal at the law offices of James Scott Farron. At this year's NCAJ convention, she received NCAJ's Robbie Price Award, which goes to a paralegal who has made significant contributions in the fight for justice on behalf of their clients and the citizens of North Carolina. In his nomination of Leek, attorney Preston W. Leslie called her one of the unspoken heroes in our fight for justice for everyday folks. Professional, intelligent, reserved, and she fights for our clients like they are her own family. Congratulations, Leslie, and thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, well, let's start at the beginning. How did your career as a paralegal begin? How old were you and what was your first job?
Okay, so my first job was actually in the legal field was when I was 18. I had not even graduated from high school yet. The week before I graduated, I was sworn in as a deputy clerk of court in Vance County. As a matter of fact, I was the youngest courtroom clerk in our district. And that job was interesting because what it did, it gave me an idea of the inner workings of a courtroom. So I became accustomed to working with judges, the local bar, probation officers, law enforcement. So that kind of whet my appetite for the legal field. And it gave me incredible soft skills, which was dealing with the public and calming down people who came in off the street trying to pay a traffic ticket. And then the next minute, I may be in a room with someone in shackles and they're telling me their whole life story of why they're in the courtroom that day because I'm taking down information for them. So it gave me those invaluable skills, which definitely whetted my appetite. So then I wanted to see what else is out there. I moved to Raleigh in my early 20s and started off, as a matter of fact, as a legal assistant receptionist. And when their paralegal left, I had been there all of 2 months, but for some reason I said, "Hey, do you think I could do that job?" And he said, "Yes."
Well, go back for just a second. You're 17 years old and you're sworn in as a deputy clerk of court. That is really young I have an 18-year-old son who I cannot imagine entrusting. He's a responsible young man,
right?
But how did you come to get involved with that position at such a young age?
Well, I knew I was not going to college right then, but I knew I had to get a job. And this is back a while when you went to the Employment Securities Commission and I met with a counselor. She went through her Rolodex and she said, "This is a good job for your set of skills. Here's how I want you to dress. Here's how I want you to address your resume." I went in to interview with the clerk of court she was a legend in Vance County. So that was my first real interview. And I interviewed for the job. She actually chose someone else, but that did not work out. And she remembered me.
Oh, okay.
And she said, I want you to start. I said, "Well, I'm graduating from high school next week."
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That is terrific. So then how long did you do that job in Vance County?
3.5 years.
Okay. And then you decided that you wanted to move on to you wanted to get out and see more of the world?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I moved to Raleigh, and then that's how I transitioned into becoming a paralegal.
Okay. And so was there anyone in your family who had experience with the legal profession, or was it just that counselor who was like, give this a try?
It was that counselor. No one else in my family works in the legal field. So it was just me. And she's the one that pushed me in that direction.
Huh. Wow. That's amazing. Sometimes education works the way that it's supposed to, or the employment the Security Commission works the way it's supposed to. That's
exactly
great.
It did back then.
So in doing the in those early years when you're like going from, like you said, listening to somebody in shackles tell you their whole life story to like dealing with like the public, like just anybody who walks through the doors of the clerk's office, I mean, what was that like for your first years of like being in the working world?
It was eye-opening because I lived somewhat of a sheltered existence. So to come into that environment at 18, you think you know everything anyway. But what you're coming into is people, why are they mad? They were mad, I have a ticket. You're not answering my questions. Then you're in the courtroom. You have judges. This is before computers. You're handwriting down everything. You have DAs coming at you. The public's walking up to you. The judge is asking you questions. And it taught me how to remain calm.
Ah, okay.
So, yes, wow. That was an invaluable skill to learn, how to remain calm. And our clerk was big with people are coming in on the worst, potentially sometimes the worst day of their life. They may be setting up an estate. They may be trying to file a lawsuit. And you're the person that's standing in between that. You are never to make them feel less than.
That's important. Yes. That is really important. And so then tell me about your next experience.
So my next experience was working with the defense counsel. And I was, like I said, I started off as a legal assistant secretary, and I asked him, can I do that job? And this defense attorney, he did a lot of briefs, a lot of appellate work, a lot of research. And he obviously saw something in me because I always had the desire to work. I think he also saw someone that he could train. I didn't come in with any preconceived, well, this has to be done this way. I knew nothing. I knew nothing other than how the court system worked. Mm-hmm. And so he took me under his wings and he trained me. He showed me how to do legal research. And then it just, I want to do more. And that's where I went and I went to paralegal school and I got my certification because I enjoyed it. I loved doing that work.
Well, that's interesting because so that's not how the job market works today. Today, you can't get past the robots on LinkedIn unless you have checked. I have this experience. I have this certification. I have this degree. Like the idea that someone who has like people skills, soft skills, as you said, just is really willing to learn, you know, is trainable. Being able to find your way to someone who values that, you know, gosh.
I would be probably harder to find, but where I'm at now at James Scott Farron, they're probably one of the few firms I've seen that if you have the ability to learn, you don't necessarily have to have that degree. You don't have to have that certification. Like I've seen other job postings. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to learn and you have good people skills, they will work with you. And it's wonderful to see because, again, experience is great. Do not get me wrong. But when they come up with that clean slate sometimes.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so this attorney that you worked for was in the defense bar, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And how long did you work for that particular attorney?
9.5 years.
9.5 years. Okay. Yes. And so what was the work like?
The work was a lot of research based. I was going to the Department of Insurance. I developed contacts early on in the Department of Insurance where I would need to go to look at policies. I would go down to the archives. I knew someone down there. I would have to go. You were researching what the policies look like. When did this, because the wording, that's where I learned wording mattered. Even where a comma was placed mattered because it changed the whole meaning of a policy and a lot of appellate work. So briefs do not scare me to appellate work.
Nice. And how long did you work for attorneys in the defense bar?
That was my only experience in the defense bar. Once I left that, I've always been the plaintiff's side.
Okay. And now what was the decision to move to the plaintiff's side? Like, was it a sort of philosophical decision or was it just an opportunity with an attorney that you wanted to work with?
It was at the time I wanted a change. I wanted to do something a little different because it was defense and it was a small firm. So I was the paralegal. I was the office manager. I was the runner. And I wanted to focus strictly because the paralegal was what fascinated me. I wanted to hone those skills. And I started looking for other jobs. And this job knew this attorney. They knew who he was and the caliber of work he did. And they said, well, they didn't even have a position for me. But they said, if you can work for him, we can find something for you. So that's how I got my first job in the plaintiff side. And I had never worked in the plaintiff side. I was mass torts, mass complex lit.
Okay. And so it was what size firm was it that you moved to?
It was Martin and Jones. It was a pretty decent size firm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How did that change your work life?
It changed my work life in that I think I brought in, since I had the defense background, I knew what defense was looking for. Where some of them never worked on defense. And they would go, why would I do that? I said, because if you're on the defendant side, that's what they're looking at. And also taught me, I knew what not to do. Sometimes when you see things coming from the plaintiff's world, sometimes you would see mistakes and not the attention to detail. I knew not to do that because I knew how that was frowned on and how it was viewed from the defense side. So going to the plaintiff's world brought in the defense skills, but I also learned it was more detailed on the plaintiff's side because the plaintiffs, you're the one who has to prove your case.
Right. Yeah. And how long were you with Martin and Jones?
9 years.
9 years. Okay. Yes. And then how long have you been with James Scott Farron?
There was a little break in between where I went to work for the state, but I've been at James Scott Farron going on 8 years now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. And then at some point you decided that you needed to get a college degree.
Yes, ma'am.
And what fueled that?
It was at some point I realized that I enjoyed being a paralegal, but if there are other opportunities out there, am I limiting myself by not having that degree? So I decided business administration would be a good topic, but also Western Carolina at the time was the only one offering business administration and law.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, that's a good combination. So it gave me even a deeper dive into the legal field and definitely developing those leadership skills that has definitely helped me here at James Scott Farron. But I had the opportunity to know I was able to do that online. I carried a full case, a full schedule, plus work full time.
Wow.
Yes.
So you did 12 academic hours?
I did.
And worked full time?
And I worked full time. There were some 3 o'clock mornings.
How old were you at this point?
I was in my early 40s.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes. And children or no
none.
Children?
No, none. I don't know if I can pull that off with children.
Maybe okay.
have
All right.
expect to be fed.
Okay. So yeah, I have this theory that we do, for some folks, we do college backwards. You know, when you're 18 years old and you're just getting out of school, out of high school, and you don't have any idea, like you said, like you think you know everything, but you don't know anything. And then we march you off to spend $100,000 on getting a college education. And then, you know, you're supposed to know what you want to do with it and why you went and got it in the first place, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that for a lot of people, it's a waste. It's so much more valuable to understand what you want out of a 4-year degree exactly. before you go and get it, you know?
I agree.
So, that's amazing. That's fabulous.
I valued that degree because I had to pay for it. I definitely paid more.
You weren't going to skip any classes.
No.
You were up at night doing it when you knew you had to get it to work in the morning.
Exactly.
So how has that informed your professional life as having that degree in its business administration and law?
And law. And again, you would think by then I'm 20 years in, I would know, but it gave me better critical thinking and critical analytical skills that it definitely improved there because now they're really teaching you how to look at a matter. And then from a leadership point, sometimes you make snap decisions because you think, okay, that's the best, I'm going with my gut. But then that business administration degree, and I also have a minor in management, it taught me how to think through a situation and look at it from all angles. And that has definitely informed me as a team lead.
So it's not instinct.
Some of it's instinct, but then another part of it, okay, is it what you think it is?
Right.
Now let's look at it. Yes.
So I've heard that you've been involved in some very interesting cases where you've used some of that, your experience in the courthouse and as a researcher. Tell me about some of your most interesting cases?
One was it was at Martin and Jones. It was a securities fraud case, and we had to go to Georgia because the special master had closed down. They had closed down the business. All of their documents was in this huge warehouse, nothing but boxes and file cabinets. And the documents we needed were on the backside of file cabinets. So for some reason, I thought it was a good idea to wear a two-piece suit that day. But here I am climbing on top of those file cabinets. Get the documents. Sure enough, in those boxes were the documents that we needed. And the attorney, he wanted trial at that one. Here at James Scott Farron, I also work in a department called triage. We're investigators. Because what James Scott Farron figured out early on is get that evidence, get to the witnesses as quickly as possible. Because a year later, witnesses disappear, 911 tapes disappear. So we get that early. And I called one place, the business where the accident happened, and it was a pawn shop. And I said, wait, no, can we see your surveillance? And they really didn't want to do it. So I happened to live in the town where it happened. I can be there in 10 minutes. So here I go. Again, trace them all to the pawn shop. They had dogs in there. They were barking. Begging them, can I see your surveillance team? they took me to the back room, and the dogs were still biting that, but trying to bite my ankle. But I got their surveillance team.
Wow.
That helped the case. So what can we do to help the client? Can we get it early? What do I need to do? And not being afraid. And definitely having that clerk's office experience. There's red tape sometimes when you call a clerk's office, and having that background and knowing what can be done and what cannot be done and speaking their language has definitely worked in my favor in getting things done.
Wow. Sounds like we should put a body cam on you and this could be the next reality TV show to come from the Triangle area.
We'll go anywhere.
So it's got to be interesting for you to work with younger paralegals who have maybe gone and gotten their certification and have done the sort of academic or office experience, but have maybe not had the kind of real world experience that you have had. What do you try? How do you try to help them understand all that there is to your role?
I help them understand. I want them to understand. Be curious. And as happy as I am to give you a go by or a template, understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because there's a reason why you're doing it. There's a consequence if you do it wrong. So when you're doing something, if you're preparing a document, if you're drafting a document, have you looked up the rules that paper is based on? Do you know why you're doing it? Because if you know the why, you're going to be more careful. You're going to make sure, and then take accountability. If you make a mistake, that's okay. Everyone makes mistakes, but take accountability for it. Ask for advice. Ask for feedback. Stay curious. It's easy as you keep doing this role to get a little bit lax. Stay curious. Be willing to learn. And that's the biggest advice I give them. If you haven't gotten your certification yet, get your certification, because now you have to study for it. That's going to help you in the long run. You're going to become better acquainted with the rules and the statutes. If you haven't gone back to paralegal school, go back to paralegal school. Go to paralegal school. And that's going to help you with the critical thinking aspect of it. So it's just stay curious.
Mm-hmm. Stay curious. That's really good advice. That's really good advice for everybody. But definitely, I can see how it would change the game for folks who maybe have only been behind a desk answering calls for the attorney. Yeah.
Right.
Understand why you're doing what you're doing too. That's so key. That's so key. Yeah.
And ask questions. Ask questions.
Absolutely. Ask questions. Well, welcome to, you are a new member of the NCAJ Paralegal Division. Welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I hope that we'll see you at our CPE events and you'll be sharing your wisdom and experience with our members.
I will. Thank you. I will definitely be doing that.
Cool. Excellent. Well, Leslie, congratulations again on your award. We're so glad that you are part of the Paralegal Division, and thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we go, I would like to thank our Circle of Leadership program sponsors, Abrams & Abrams, Henson First, the Law Offices of James Scott Farron, the Law Offices of John McCabe, Whitley Law Firm, Brown Moore & Associates, Edwards Kirby, Johnson & Groninger, DeMaio Law Offices, the Law Offices of Wallace & Graham, Horton & Mendez Injury Attorneys, Kuntz & Smith, the Law Offices of Jason E. Taylor, Sunwalt Group Workers' Comp and Trial Lawyers, and Orndorff Law Firm. These firms are supporting NCAJ's mission as founding members of the Circle of Leadership. Find out how your firm can join the Circle of Leadership at ncaj.com/circle. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Voices of NCAJ. For more information on the North Carolina Advocates for Justice and how to join or support NCAJ, please visit our website at www.ncaj.com.